Wesley asked me to share this morning on the goodness of God and also to give some examples from the Word of God demonstrating His goodness to people. So the first thing I did was to look in the dictionary to get a good definition of goodness. And goodness relates to good. That was one definition. And the other definition was something in along the lines of tasteful. Things that are delicious or tasteful have goodness. So I decided for the purpose of today's teaching, I would make up my own definition according to what I was gleaning from the Word. And I came up with the definition that goodness is a positive state of being. And as you can see over here on the chart board, goodness is a positive state of being. So there we go. And a lot of times that goodness or positive state of being is demonstrated in the physical realm, and it comes into manifestation. And one of the ways that it comes into manifestation is kindness. So kindness is a positive manifestation of the inherent goodness. Okay, somebody has an act of kindness. They say he's a good-hearted person, he's good, and that becomes manifested through an act of kindness. Or it could also be manifested in sympathy or warding off danger for somebody. These are manifestations of the inherent goodness or the positive state of being. So when we look to the Word of God, I'd like to start in Psalm 107, verse 8. Psalm 107 and verse 8. And it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." So there we see that God has this goodness, that positive state of being, and it becomes manifested in his wonderful works toward men. Hence my definition. And if we also look at Exodus chapter 34, Genesis of Exodus, chapter 34, in verse 6. Genesis 34, 6. "And the Lord passed by before him," talking about Moses. This was when he had to go up the second time after the golden calf and the tables were smashed. He's up there with God again. "And the Lord passed by him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" So that positive state of being, goodness, and the positive state of being also is truth. There's a lot of other characteristics of God that we know of. God is spirit, God is light, God is righteous. But in this verse it says that goodness is manifested through grace and long-suffering. So God is spirit, and God's goodness is in the spiritual realm. If we look at Psalm 33, Psalm 33, in verse, starting in verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Truth being that other characteristic inherent in God. "He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together in a heap. He layeth up the depth of in storehouses. Let all the earth fear or respect or be in awe of the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. So that verse is talking about the original record in Genesis where God puts the earth back together. And that's where I'd like to take a look at this point, Genesis chapter 1. Talking about God's goodness and his inherent state of being. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So in this second verse, it says the earth became without form and void. And of course, we know that was the cataclysmic event when Lucifer was cast out. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And of course, that darkness is associated with Lucifer and all his devil spirit kingdom. And evil also is an inherent characteristic. And it's a negative state of being. So this darkness, this negative state of being, the adversary, Lucifer, was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And as I read this, I was thinking, the Spirit of God. Well, God is Spirit. And yet it says the Spirit of God. So I figured one way or the other, it catches your attention, and it probably is in the category of a figure of speech. I'm not sure. But the Spirit of God would entail all that God is. That inherent goodness, that righteousness, that truth, that light, that love. So the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So to overcome the darkness, that inherent goodness of God said, let there be light. And God is omniscient. He knows what's going to happen. And so in order to counteract that evil, that darkness, he set up the light. Because the physical light comes much later in the chapter. God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So the light was a result of God's inherent goodness. And if you read the chapter, you see that all the things that God did, God said it was good. But in the last thing that he did after he was finally done and he had put man on the earth with body, soul, and spirit, he said it was very good. So a lot of times in biblical study, the number 7 indicates spiritual perfection. The earth was very good at that point, spiritually perfect, because he had man on the earth who was body, soul, and spirit, and that man was able to fellowship with him. And God, in turn, was able to supply that man's needs, to be his sufficiency in all things. That's why it was paradise. They had fellowship with each other, and God supplied everything they needed. And after the fall, of course, they had to work by the sweat of their brow, and they no longer had that spiritual connection with God. So, also that evil, that was that the adversary's negative state of being. In John 10:10, it says that he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So his negative state of being is deceit, destruction, and death. man, at that point, he was body, soul, and spirit. So God had to devise a way to overcome Satan's destruction. And we know what happened when Satan deviated and disrupted things in the garden with man. And the goodness of God, who is light, love, and spirit, had a solution. He didn't chastise the man. He just, man was, had to suffer the consequences of his unbelief. But what he did, rather, he confronted Satan's evil with the promise of Jesus Christ, the promised seed. So if we look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, and in verse 9, talking about God and his goodness, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So that light that he said, let there be light, was his promise of the promised seed, his knowledge that Christ would be the agent to bring back that connection, that spiritual connection with God, and ultimately the gift of the Holy Spirit. And John 3:16, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, that tremendous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think that's a tremendous example of the goodness of God toward man. And as you can see over here on this chart board, this isn't working real good, but it says, it breaks down the verse, and it says that God, who is the greatest lover, so loved, which was the greatest degree, he so loved, the greatest degree, the world, the greatest number, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever believeth in him, the greatest simplicity in him is the greatest person, should not perish, the greatest deliverance, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. So I thought that was a pretty cool breakdown of the verse, and it really does show the goodness of God. It was written by a guy called Anonymous, who I believe was the brother of the older brother of Thessalonians. And he, of course, wrote quite a few things over the years. But there you have that. So in this administration, at this day and time, Romans 10:9 is the starting point for us to be reconciled back to God. And Romans 10:9, of course, is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So that saved, sozo, means to be made whole. And once again, we become body, soul, and spirit. We have that spiritual connection with God. And Wesley wanted me to give examples from the Word of God's example, of God's goodness towards people. So I thought there would be a good example if we just looked at you. You. Yes. You. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Examples in God's Word pertaining to his goodness to us. And I'd like to start in Ephesians chapter 2. These will all be very familiar verses of Scripture, but in light of God's goodness towards us. Ephesians chapter 2, of course, going to verse 10. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, or believing. The greatest simplicity. By believing, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So salvation is a gift from God. We don't have to earn it. And if you go over across the page to chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. All spiritual blessings. And that, of course, includes the 9 manifestations that we have. We're able to operate manifestations. And he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And it's through Christ Jesus, through the accomplishments of his Son. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 17, 6:17, chapter 6, verse 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So, as it was in paradise, God gave them all things that they needed, and it was that they could enjoy. And in this day and time, we can enjoy the blessings of God. And we should enjoy them. It says that he loads us daily with benefits. In Romans 8:32, he says he freely gives us all things. And in 8:37, he says we're more than conquerors in any situation. So he has surely blessed us. In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll look there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him, Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have access. And that, I heard it taught once upon a time, that access could be in the light of introduction. We have introduction to God through Jesus Christ. And it's kind of a mind picture, because it indicates that personal relationship that we have with the Father. God is a personal God to all of us. He knows our specific needs and desires. And it's by that introduction through Jesus Christ that we can have that. And of course, Hebrews chapter 4 follows upon this. Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And again, because of God's goodness, we can come boldly to obtain mercy. And that goodness is manifested by his withholding merited judgment. And grace, that goodness is manifested by his divine favor. And it's available at any time to help us in a time of need. And in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, and verse 13. First John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And this section is referring to asking things of the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. It is our power of attorney, the authority that we have to use that name. And whatsoever we ask, according to the greatness of his word, we know through his goodness that we'll have those things. That's pretty cool. Philippians 4:19 says that he'll supply all of our need. And 2 Corinthians 9:8 says that we can have all sufficiency in all things. While we're in the neighborhood, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice how many of these verses says that he's blessed. He's blessed to do these things, which is another indication of his goodness. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again into a living hope, a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. So not only in this world do we have all sufficiency in all things, but there'll be a time coming that, you know, we'll have all eternity with our Heavenly Father. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, those tremendous verses regarding the return, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then you... God's goodness to you, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So, in God's tremendous goodness to us, we'll be just like the resurrected Christ. We'll have brand new spiritual bodies. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, a couple pages back, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's our sufficiency in all things. We have all spiritual blessings. We have all eternity with him. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Becoming partakers of the divine nature. part of the divine nature that we're talking about this morning is God's goodness, his inherent goodness. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says we are to be imitators of God. So we can be imitators of that inherent goodness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says we're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. So to be imitators of God, God's state of being is goodness. As we put on the mind of Christ and grow in our walk with all of our rights, privileges, and abilities, through Christ Jesus, we, you and I, become living epistles of the goodness of God. So, enjoy a wonderful day today in God's goodness.